prayer is there to continue the teaching of the Word of God and to show you why nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is absolutely impossible with God. The word with there, that's the conjunction. We got to get it. With God, nothing. We know that. That all things are possible already. God can do what? All things. Everything is possible already. When it comes to God, there is no impossibility. He can do all things. He created all things. So now, since we know that truth, all we have to do is have fellowship with him. Once you start to have fellowship with him, then nothing becomes impossible to you, because the secret things will now what?
Be revealed.
Mm-hmm. That's why. So we have to have the understanding why nothing is impossible with him or with those who walk with God. In other words, who have fellowship with God. Because you can't say you have fellowship and in darkness. Because once you are in fellowship with God, you are in light. Light is a revealer of truth. Light reveals truth. And we over in Psalms 119, and we look there. But before I look, I'm going to give you the first word, Diane. So this morning, we're looking in 105.
Verse 105?
Yes.
For your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
All right. We left off yesterday, Wednesday, with 101, right? Mm-hmm. Remember? Mm-hmm. So let's refresh our mind.
I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word.
Yes. So in verse 5, you see the you see why he can say it. You can understand verse 105 unless you understand 101. How could he restrain his feet from every evil way? Because he made a word as a lamp and a light to his feet.
Mm-hmm. And then when we go even farther back into verse 97, this whole section right here in Psalms 119, pastor is talking about fellowship. Yes. Well, fellowship is a two-way, right? It's not just one way, because then that's not fellowship. So fellowship is a two-way communication. So there takes a discipline on David's part. So starting at verse 97, he says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. So that's a discipline. He's meditating in the law, in the word of God all the day. And he chooses to love it.
Yeah.
Verse 98, not to think that it's a burden, but he chooses to love it. Verse 98, you, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. So the commandments of God, studying, meditating on them, the law of God makes us wise. He said, it makes me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts.
Your word.
So understanding comes in the doing of the word. So he says, I understand more than the ancients, because I have kept your precepts. The precepts are what is right for you. The precepts are those predetermined steps that were laid out before your conception that are individualized onto you. The law is onto all. The commandments are onto all. But the precepts are specific to each and every individual. And he says, these things, all these things I have meditate on. I have gained understanding, which means I have practiced them. Because when we look at the life of David, it wasn't perfect, 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 every day, perfect, perfect, perfect. He overcame different adversity. He overcame his own poor decisions. He knew that he had to do his part in disciplining himself in the fellowship with God. He had to do his part so that he could hear clearly, and he was able to do. So then verse 101, I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. Does that mean that he never made a mistake in his life? Of course not. But he learned as he grew in the word the direction of what was right for him. And he got the courage to then be able to restrain himself from going in the wrong way. Verse 102, I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Then he goes in and he says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word developed him. The word developed him from a shepherd into a king. The word developed him from an adulterous hitman murderer and to everything that God had caused him to be in the earth because of the word. David, he was very significant things that he did, his leadership. God was with him in battle. He had victory after victory. He had understanding. He was able to pen out and to write down everything for his son Solomon, the vision for the temple, for the tabernacle, everything that was to be done. He had that great insight. How did he get it? Through the word. He's letting us know his secret. What was his secret? The word.
That's mm-hmm. the key, mm-hmm. the word. And he tells us how to relax mm-hmm. and get the full meaning and understanding and revelation of Philippians. Rejoice, Paul said. mm-hmm. When you know this, then you will understand what Paul is saying. Rejoice always. And this I say mm-hmm. to you, you ought to what? Rejoice.
And when we think about the background of Paul, when he was Saul, when he was going out bringing persecution against anybody, woman, child, anybody who was a follower of Jesus Christ, and the great transformation that took place in his life, how he became the author of 13 epistles in the New Testament, and how he went through such a dramatic life transformation where he was totally trying to break down and tear down the kingdom of Christ. And then he moved into this, he had an encounter with Jesus, and he hears the voice, and he has an encounter, he has a time, then he begins to study, he begins to go through his discipleship, and then he becomes one who is now starting churches, who is spreading the word of Christ. And he's able to say, rejoice. I say unto you again, rejoice. And he came from a dirty past. He came from a dark past. And he was encouraging them, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. In all ways, I say unto you, rejoice. And then in Philippians chapter 4, he goes through and he tells them the kind of things to meditate on, the kind of thoughts to allow in the mind, to purposefully plant in the mind, because his mind was free. He became free. His actions change. Because sometimes our actions change, but our mind is still captive to the past. And we hold on to all the shame and to all the regrets and to all the woulda, coulda, shoulda. But that was not his story. That was not his case. Because he allowed his mind to be transformed. How? By the word. It's the word of God that transforms our mind. So he was released from the shame in his mind. He was released from the guilt in his mind. He was released from the mental torment in his mind. And he was able to say, look, you got to discipline this mind. You got to cast down every argument, every imagination that rises up in disobedience to Christ. You have authority over your mind to remove certain things, to block certain thoughts. And then he tells you the kind of things to put in your mind, the kind of things to place in there. And we get those things from the word of God. He says, meditate on things that are true. Well, the word of God is true. If it's not true, it's not for you, and it shouldn't be taking up space in your mind. You have to command it to go and begin to meditate on things that are true. Because we can't just live a life, whoa, no, 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 no. What are we saying yes to? Because when we're doing the do's, then we don't have to worry about the don'ts. When we're choosing to meditate on the positive, the things that are true, the things that are praiseworthy, the things that are virtuous, the things that God has wants to access through our mind, use and develop in our mind, the good thoughts that he has toward us, the plan and the purpose of peace that he has for us, the how to do, the vision, the creativity that's available to us through Christ to be able to manifest the vision of which he has sent us in the earth to do. Those are the things that need space in our mind. A whole bunch of shame, a whole bunch of regret, woulda, coulda, shoulda. That stuff, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, that the blood of Jesus was shed to cleanse our conscience from those dead works in order for us to serve the living God. So the same blood that we believe that forgives us for our sin to get us into heaven is also the same blood that was shed to cleanse your conscience from those dead works. So we have to know, we have to have the revelation of that. Well, you're not going to have the revelation of that if you didn't see it in the word for yourself. So when we find the place it is written, then we know our rights. We're finding, we're locating our rights in the will, the place that is written for us in the word of God. Because we know in order, in the physical realm, in order for a will to be executed, a will to be carried out, somebody got to die.
Yes.
So Jesus Christ already died so that this will that's in the Bible is being released onto us. But we have to know what it is. If they're sitting in a room, in the physical world, sitting in a room, reading a will, and somebody is named in that will that's not in that room, they have to that person has to be located in order for them to receive what it says for them in the word. There has to be a location. There has to be a match. They have to know about it in order to access it. So same with us as Christians. We have to be able to know. We have to be able to locate the place that it is written in the will. Jesus Christ already died for you to have that.
So hallelujah. Notice how powerful, as we close off this Thursday morning, Dan, I want to bring our attention to verse 89. Look at verse 89.
Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven.
Yeah, that is a settled peace. So that's why David find the answer. David says, there's no question. When you understand that the word is unchangeable, it's settled. It's going to do exactly what it says. And here's my assurance. If you don't believe David, then we have to believe Matthew. Matthew 24, 35. Because there's two witnesses. You know, we teach at celebration, you have to have one or more scripture that is saying the same thing. Or as you just isolate the scripture to fit your own need, your own carnal mind. You just go find a scripture to fit that. We got to have it more than one place, okay? So David said that the word is settled. Matthew chapter 24, 35. Are you there, Mark?
Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So who's the speaker? Jesus is the speaker.
Yeah.
If you have one of the Bibles that has the writing or of the teaching of Jesus Christ, what he said in red, that is in bright red, all through that whole chapter, this is his teaching. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away.
And David has that same revelation in Psalms 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It will never change.
It's already done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it already is in heaven. It's already done in heaven. He has given us the keys. Make your day count.
Thank you for tuning in to the Make Your Day Count broadcast with Pastor Errol Beckford, Senior Pastor of Celebration Tabernacle Church in the beautiful city of Cocoa. For more information on this broadcast, please contact us at 321-638-0381. Tune in tomorrow to hear more about how you can make your day count.
He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big.
You are listening to the Morning Breath Podcast. Please enjoy today's show, hosted by a pastor on staff here at East Coast Christian Center.
All right, hello, and welcome to Morning Breath. I'm Brian. I'm one of the pastors at East Coast Christian Center, and I get to host a show with you today. I'm thankful for the opportunity to open up the Word and preach the Word, speak the Word, really just do our devotion on the air, talk about what stuck out to us. I'm in the studio today with a couple friends. I have Pastor David Gammon across the table. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing really good. How you doing, Pastor Brian?
I'm doing good. It's good to be together and get to do this together. We also have Nick over here with some faders and some things, pushing some buttons, doing something over there. There he is. He's here. He arrived. What was that noise?
It was like the horn that, I don't know.
A horn?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought horns were like beep, beep.
It's like a youth thing.
Oh, I'm too old. I get it. We're too old.